FindingImpact.com. FindingImpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.
Hi, everyone. My name is Andy Narricot. I'm the founder of Finding Impact, the show where we identify the challenges facing social entrepreneurs and bring on the expert to help resolve them. Today's challenge is for those businesses who are seeing a temporary loss of revenue due to the COVID-19 crisis, but also anyone in the business of raising capital and interested in different funding instruments. So I've got Amanda Cotterman here, and we're going to talk about the fund she's raising, Equilife Capital's Africa Venture Debt COVID Recovery Fund. Check it out at equilifegroup.com. That's EQUALifegroup.com, and click on Equilife Capital on the menu at the top. Check it out there. We're going to help you understand whether this funding instrument is right for your enterprise, or if you're a donor or investor, whether you might want to put some capital towards it. So many people are figuring out what contribution they want to make to this historic time. So this is one avenue. We want to bring in more content around the COVID-19 crisis and how your businesses can survive and do well in this period as well. So welcome, Amanda.
Thanks so much, Andy. So thrilled to be here and share some of my experiences.
Well, thanks for coming on at such short notice. I was connected to you literally a few days ago, and we just said, let's do it, because I want to be helpful as much as possible. And this looks like an incredibly worthy and, you know, pertinent issue of businesses who are flailing around at the moment and really panicking and maybe thinking, you know, what is future? How do we best prepare and get business continuity going? So first, let's cut to the chase. And what is this venture debt fund? It's the first time I heard of it. Why is there a need for it?
Yeah, well, venture debt is an asset class that's part of every venture ecosystem around the world. But it's sort of the silent asset that not many people know about, just 10, 15% of the venture funding out there. And what it's providing is really reduced dilution for a venture business to extend their runway or accelerate their growth with limited cost to that business. Now, COVID-19, all bets are off the table on what instruments are usually used. And we believe that actually venture debt is a great asset to be able to tweak in a crisis situation, because ultimately ventures are seeing a liquidity crunch, and they're going to need either immediately or in the medium term an injection of capital to be able to weather the storm and then be able to thrive afterwards. And this allows them, if they are the right fit and have the right profile, to minimize that dilution and not be stressed about giving up part of their company and having that cash injection to figure out how they're going to pivot and be innovative to survive right now.
Okay. So it's about weathering the storm for businesses that are, you know, revenue generating and, you know, but what sort of size of fund are you looking to raise?
Yeah, so we've put out a call for capital of $20 million with an initial focus on the East African region, as that's our expertise. But we believe this is a Pan-African need and an opportunity to be able to support the larger African venture ecosystem and could use a lot more capital.
Okay. So I just want to dig into that. So if I'm a business listening now and I'm hearing this, can you give me some examples of types of businesses that would be suitable for this kind of fund, you know, like maybe some examples in particular sectors?
Sure. Well, kind of high level, we're looking at businesses in the venture ecosystem that are both high tech and low tech, those that are your traditional high growth venture businesses, as well as small and growing businesses that are innovating on their business model, because we see a lot of those in Africa that are trying to solve a problem and fill a gap. It is an asset that is, is needed and can be used for a revenue generating business that lacks the assets or cash flow that a traditional debt financing instrument would look for to lend. But they do need to be near cash flow positive or oscillating around that on their way to profitability, because ultimately it is debt, and debt does need to be financed through interest payments and repayment of the principal. In terms of industry, we are industry agnostic. It's about backing high growth, high potential businesses. And we've made investments over the past year and a half through our traditional venture debt fund in agriculture, in financial services, in education. We also look at logistics, healthcare, consumer focused businesses. So it runs the gamut. It's really about understanding the fundamentals of a business and their ability pre-COVID to grow with this injection of capital. And now with COVID-19, it's about being able to sustain operations to be on a path later to grow.
Right. So small growing businesses innovating on their business model, but those also that are more mature as well. But they need to be revenue generating or hovering around that, right?
Well, they definitely need to be revenue generating and hovering around cash flow positive. Also, I think what I would add to that too is this is an instrument that goes hand in hand with venture capital equity. And the reason why is that, you know, there's a lot of innovation, a lot of problem solving on both the operations and strategy for these businesses that are trying to solve problems quickly and grow quickly. And there needs to be an additional partner on that journey who can help the entrepreneurs think through and execute on that vision. And that's where the equity partners come in any type of business, be it venture-backed, private equity-backed, or even just individuals coming in as partners. If you look at just what equity can do in a business and what the outcome and goal of that is, it's however much work you put in is how much you reap later on. With debt, it's a very fixed asset. Your interest is your payments for that risk someone is taking on. It's not payments for someone's time to support a business. And there's a lot that needs to happen in a venture business pre-COVID, and definitely a lot more handholding and support that needs to happen post-COVID. So we do support our portfolio companies, but we look for those that have an equity investor who can provide that extra layer of support in this growth story.
Okay. So venture-backed, equity-backed companies that have got that layer of mentorship and advice from their partners, equity partners, and this is, you provide the support, but it's less high touch, I suppose, than the equity partners, and it's about that bridging finance of sorts, that sort of injection of capital that can sustain operations.
Yes. Yeah. That's the goal with COVID-19. Though the secret is sometimes we are a little bit more high touch than a traditional venture debt investor, only because I was an entrepreneur in Kenya before launching this fund. So just leveraging that knowledge and expertise as well. But it's usually a little less high touch than an equity investor's involvement.
Yeah. But just I wanted to underline that because it's something you said that it could be of interest to specifically not just for the enterprise, but if there's equity backers who are listening, this could be good for them, right? Because you mentioned people don't want to dilute their shareholding.
Completely. And that's how it's used in more developed markets, as well as other emerging markets like the Indian venture ecosystem. It's reducing that dilution for both the entrepreneur who has ownership in the company, as well as the equity investors, and provides that additional cash injection to extend the runway, and of course, in a pre-COVID time, accelerate that growth. So it is something that, when you do the math behind it, if it's the right fit for that company, equity investors and the entrepreneur do want this.
Mm. Yeah, I can see, especially now when you might be thinking that you've got no option but to go and fundraise again because, you know, maybe cash flow is an issue, revenue has dropped at this time, and you believe there's no need, or you wouldn't have been planning to. So this could be a good stopgap. Can we get some practical examples of businesses that that you would, I don't know, you've either funded before using this instrument, or would you've been speaking to, you know, some examples of businesses?
Yeah, happy to give that. And as I said, we're playing around with venture debt for Africa, and we're tweaking the model. It's not going to look the same as other markets. But that's part of pioneering a new asset class. So to give you some ideas of businesses we've looked at, the very traditional one that makes sense is a financial service business. A lot of lending has been happening in East Africa and across the continent. So a fintech that lends to usually the unbankable or those with smaller businesses, it definitely needs debt to come on, and that would be used to finance their loan book. They shouldn't be using their equity for that. So we've backed in Rwanda a company called Benefactors. That's a factoring business. They do account receivable financing, and that debt goes specifically into their loan book. It can also be used in more traditional or these small and growing business concepts that aren't SMEs, but they're ones that have taken on equity to prove out and solve a problem in the market, where they can't access traditional debt financing or a traditional working capital loan is too arduous for them to be able to manage or finance. So we've also backed in Kenya, for example, a coconut processing business called Kentaste. And they have a very tangible working capital need as they're supporting and professionalizing working with smallholder farmers to be able to provide coconuts to their business. They, you know, that's very traditional in how that looks, but it's venture debt. They're backed by Acumen and DOB Equity, and they can't necessarily, given where they stand, be able to go to a bank to be able to get that financing they need.
Right. Okay. So two businesses there, one fintech factoring business in Rwanda, another in Kenya, coconut. Any other examples that you can think about, you know, having to pay people up front, or, you know, they're having to basically cash, short-term cash buying and selling?
Yeah. So as we look with the COVID-19 and have our pipeline set up and continuing to build out that pipeline, we've looked at some of the logistics businesses and had conversations with those, especially in food delivery right now. That's something that is definitely having to pivot and can benefit, but also has to be very conscious of where they fall in this crisis. And there's a need for motorcycle financing to be able to get more vehicles on the road. So that would be another opportunity for venture debt financing.
So it's where, you know, you're buying, a company is buying an asset up front and maybe on lending it or loaning it onward to low-income customers. You can't afford big lumpy payments, and they may be staggering the payments because that's what the consumer payment behavior is like.
Yeah. And I think, you know, someone might say, well, gosh, it just sounds like asset financing or working capital. You know, why can't you just go to a bank? Well, you know, this helps solve this problem where a company might not have that track record. They might not have the processes in place to be able to manage a more traditional lien like that. And they need to be able to move very quickly on being able to grow this business and buy these assets or, you know, have that cash injection. So it's an alternative. But we're also finding really the only option for these businesses.
Yeah, brilliant. And I'm sure a lot of banks are maybe buttoning things down, or they're still in a tailspin at the moment because of the COVID crisis. So things might not be so rapid to respond. But let's just talk a little bit about Well, let's talk about you. Sorry, we haven't given you a proper introduction. And, you know, I'm sure people are interested to know, so who is Equilife? And Amanda, you know, what's your background and how did you identify that this was needed?
Sure. Well, I'll talk about my background first because I think it leads to how I've gotten to where I am today with this venture debt fund and now this COVID-19 recovery fund. But I actually started my career in emerging markets and I've only worked in emerging markets, even though I'm American. I started out in China, mainland China, and then was in Hong Kong with Morgan Stanley in corporate finance, covering a lot of tech companies in China and across Asia. And realized really quickly that there was a lot of learnings that could be leveraged across geographies, but not everyone always had that benefit to connect the dots. And so I actually went back to business school to be able to start seeing where there are similar trends that I had seen in the Asian markets and wanted to be a part of that story and bring my experience into those markets. And so I looked all over, did projects in Latin America and the Middle East, and then ended up in Africa and said, this is where I think I can add value. And this is where I see a lot of similar trends that are going to emerge that I was a part of and experienced in China and Asia. So I actually came to Kenya as an entrepreneur myself, trying to fill the gap on these different opportunities, and was most successful with an education business that I built from concept to profitability. And when I exited that, I said, you know, I really want to get back into the investing world because I had the hard finance skills and now this operational expertise, which are two skill sets that are really needed in investing. And, you know, the venture capital world had really developed in the last 3 to 5 years. It wasn't here when I moved to Kenya 8 years ago. There was development work and there was private equity. And those kind of have evolved into venture capital impact investing. And so when I looked around at different opportunities, two things kind of came up. One was the equity markets were quite covered. And look, I come from a traditional equity background. So that's kind of my bread and butter. But as I looked around, I said, there's this need for debt. I'm working with companies as I'm seeing what the need is in the market, and everyone is using their equity inefficiently. We've got other assets out there we can use. Why aren't they here? And then I also kind of reflected on my time as an entrepreneur and when I was looking for different sources of capital and what would have worked best if I could have accessed it. And so I started doing research. I went to a lot of companies to learn about their internal financial needs, doing some consulting and advisory work with them. And I went to India actually to study the venture debt market there to start learning more about this asset class in a parallel market that had kind of grown a few steps ahead of Africa. And so about a year and a half ago, I'm still an entrepreneur at heart. I took my savings and I started lending. I wanted to kind of learn before I asked others to support me and played around with debt investing, figuring out different structures, figuring out how to diligence companies in different ways, taking, having conversations with debt experts and learning from them. And over the last year and a half, we've deployed about $700,000 in East Africa and see that this is a need and an opportunity and still an evolving asset class. But this is what you have to do in any market when you bring something new to it. You've got to test it out and start playing around with it. Then COVID-19 hit. And I was inundated with requests from entrepreneurs, from venture capital funds out there saying, you do debt, right? You know, can we get some debt? We need debt. And as we started to listen and ask questions, we realized a few things. One, now the perceived risk is off the charts. So we can't necessarily price in a traditional way. There needs to be a new way that we look at pricing and structuring debt. But actually, we realize we're best positioned to support in this crisis. Venture debt is a great, and just debt in general, is a great asset that can be tweaked for a crisis situation. It allows you to be the objective player in the room where a lot of equity investors are in an emotional state right now, trying to figure out how to support their portfolio companies with their existing cash reserves and as they look to the future. And the due diligence process is the exact same. You can't back on everyone, and it's a hard conversation to have. But pre-crisis, you're looking to back the companies that you believe can grow and get to that next level and will be able to raise more capital in the future. And in a crisis situation, we're looking at the companies that have a liquidity crisis that can weather the storm and be set up to succeed afterwards. So we did the bold. We put out a call for capital and said, hey, everyone's really worried. Everyone's talking about it. We're willing to offer a solution. We have the track record, the experience, and look, we're on the ground. We are entrepreneurs who've walked this journey. We are investors who understand what's needed, and we're an option here that can support in this time of need.
Brilliant. Amazing. Story is brilliant. And you've obviously seen it and you've experienced it. You felt it. So what sort of partners are you looking for? We're not talking about businesses, but is there a role for Grant here? Is there, what types of capital are you looking for partners to come on board?
Completely. Look, more than ever, we really need to embody the blended finance model for our fund structure here. The debt that is needed has to be at concessional rates. Companies cannot afford for us to price it at the market. And that's okay. As long as we accept that, we can do that. We just need to bring in the right types of capital into the fund structure so we can pass that on. And so there can be a mix of commercial investors with more socially minded and concessional capital, but it's going to have to happen with grants, concessional capital in both debt and equity, and commercial capital with debt and equity for us to be able to offer appropriately priced rates for this crisis. So we would love to have conversations. We're in conversations with government organizations, with foundations, with your traditional investors into funds. But it will have to be a blended finance model of grants and different costs of capital in that fund structure.
Yeah. And I can imagine, you've probably, because of the way the pricing works, you have to have a minimum ticket size and so on and so forth. But if grant capital came in, you could possibly work with smaller businesses, maybe.
I mean, that's one thing. We have to make sure we kind of keep ourselves on task with our expertise and what we know works. And we are looking at different ways that we can kind of widen the band of the types of businesses that we look at. We believe that grants, like we've seen in other funds in Africa and other emerging markets, grants are a great way for us to be able to pass on a lower cost of debt to the portfolio companies. Mm. So that's kind of one way we see that. And also it allows us to look at slightly different profiles than we usually would, because we have, venture debt, it's risk capital that is less costly than equity. So we can take, we're a little bit more risk loving. We're not as risk loving as an equity player, but we can get very far on the edge of debt risk. And grants can help us do that in looking at different profiles of portfolio businesses.
Great. Okay. So what can businesses expect? I mean, currently, as you're modeling it out, what sort of pricing are you giving companies? Can you give some sort of indication or a range so people, don't have to wait to ask that question?
Yeah. So we are looking at offering concessional debt rates below market for these profiles of companies that aren't profitable yet, but are around cash flow positive. And that usually would look at around 5 to 10% annual interest. We are very conscious of how this crisis is affecting a company's ability to, take on that debt and service it. So we would structure the loans with different grace periods so that there's breathing room for the companies to be able to focus on running their business and not be in the short to medium term focused on repaying that debt.
Brilliant. Okay. So what's the next step? What should people do? I mean, if we're talking to two different categories of people, one potential partners to come on the fund and others, which are businesses that maybe after listening to this, they see themselves as a potential fit. What's the next step?
Yeah, great question. So for companies that think, hey, this might be the right fit for us to take on this type of capital or need of this type of capital, say, stay tuned. We're posting on our LinkedIn page and we will soon have on our website a way for you to specifically apply with details of your company. We'll be asking for some specific information for us to do the first level of qualification before we can have a follow-up conversation to move towards due diligence. But we'll be it'll be a dynamic conversation with companies. So start getting your documents in order. What you would have to do anyways to be applying for debt or equity. We're still going to have a formal structure process to be financially diligent. For those who are interested to support the fund in terms of financing, please reach out. You can write us at relieffund@equilifegroup.com. You can reach us if you look on our website or on LinkedIn, write me a message. We're getting a lot of outreach, so apologies if we don't respond immediately, but we're keen to have a conversation and share more.
Great. That email address again?
It's relieffund@equilifegroup.com.
Okay, great. So if people are interested, but companies that listen to this and they're used to, well, they've been through an equity raise before, so they've know what's expected in terms of documents they have ready. What's different in the documents they need compared to equity, compared to if they're raising debt?
It's not too different. But what I tell people is due diligence is the same and more, because with debt, us as lenders have to get our money back. Mm. So we are, we are going to look at the team. We're going to look at the macro story, and we're going to dive deep into the micro story. And we're really going to look at your financials to understand your ability to pay debt, service it and repay it, and really double down on understanding in the medium term, as well as kind of the tenor of the loan, your ability to finance this.
That's great. Thank you so much, Amanda, for coming on. And I'm really pleased that we've managed to do this very quickly, but it's going to go out soon. So everyone, listen up, equilifegroup.com, check it out. And Amanda, thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much, Andy. And stay safe and stay sane.
Findingimpact.com. Helping you scale your social business.